Amen. Stand to your feet all across the room this morning, and thanks again for being here today. God bless you. Amen. Hey, Jeanette, I want you to open that song just like you opened it up this morning. How'd you open it up this morning? Well, anyway, when you first opened it up in the first service, I thought you were getting ready to sing People Get Ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no ticket. You just get on board. So one day, anyway, maybe we'll sing that song. Have you ever heard that song? But man, you guys just really did an awesome job in that song. Give the choir another great God bless you this morning. We're in a series of messages called Living Life in the Spirit. And this morning I want to talk about living a life of generosity. How many of you know that God's called us to be a generous people? Amen. And the Bible says this, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Read that with me this morning. A generous person will what? Will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you are generous to us. You are a generous God and a good God. Help us to be generous, good people, and help us to learn more about that this morning. And we just prayed in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word on which I stand, and having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. You may be seated. There's a set of notes right before you, and hope that you'll use those during the message. They'll help you to give you a good roadmap on the message this morning. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit called generosity. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, endurance, kindness. But then this morning we're talking about goodness that can be translated generosity or benevolence. It's translated that way in the Amplified Version. And so this Sunday, we're in a series called Living Life in the Spirit. Each and every Sunday, we're going to be on a different subject, but today we're talking about generosity. And this word generosity comes from the word goodness, all right? But it's interpreted in the Amplified Version as benevolence, and benevolence is like generosity. So goodness equals benevolence equals generosity. I just want to just kind of focus in on what it means to be generous this morning. Living life in the Spirit is living a life of generosity. And in your notes, generosity is not about what's in your bank account, it's what's in your heart. How many know that generosity starts by having a heart of generosity? When we have a spirit of generosity, it comes out not just in the things that we give away, but how we treat people as well. You can have a generous spirit. Say with me this morning, a generous spirit. In other words, we're talking about goodness right now, just being a good person and having a generous spirit. But it comes out in the way that we treat people, in the way that we listen to them, in the way that we are dealing with others. And it also comes in the way that we give. But the words that we say, the way that we treat others, it all comes out from having a generous spirit. So this morning, first of all, I want to just take a look at the picture of a generous life, all right? The picture of a generous life. There's two great examples in the Bible about living a generous life. There's lots more than that, but I'll share two out of the New Testament this morning. And both of these illustrations come from the week before Jesus went to the cross, the week before Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected. The week before, these two examples took place. And the first one, Jesus was at the temple, and he was sitting at the temple at the treasury, and he was watching people. He was observing people as they were giving their offerings. Have you ever thought that maybe God watches us when we give our offerings? But Jesus was watching, and the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many people threw in large amounts. And in the temple treasury, there's all kinds of giving boxes, all right? And lots of times the rich people would come in with all of their bags of coins, and they would put the coins into the bottom, and they would drop them in one by one by one, and they'd hit the bottom, and they would echo so that everybody could hear how much they were giving, all right? Now, none of us do that. Can I get a witness? Amen? That was a weak amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. But then a poor widow came. A poor widow came, and she had just two coins, two small copper coins. They even called them temple coins, worth only a few cents. She only had two coins. These two coins were called two mites, and they were the smallest denomination in the Greek world at that time. They were worth just nothing. They were worth a percentage of what a coin would be worth. In fact, they were worth 1/128 of a day's pay. So if you took a day's pay and divided it into 128 parts, that coin was worth only that much. You could hardly buy even a stale loaf of bread with the money that she was going to put in. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country and come home with some coins from a foreign country, especially a third world country? Sometimes you'll have a pocket full of coins and they're not worth much at all, and they sit in your desk drawer for the rest of your life. This is the kind of coin that the lady was putting in. It wasn't worth much at all, but it's all that she had. Now, I also want you to notice that the woman that put in the coin, she had two coins. Say it with me this morning, two coins. She could have said, well, I'm going to keep one for myself and give one to the Lord, but she didn't. She said, I'm going to give, you know, everything that I have to the Lord, even if it's the coins, both coins. I remember there was this little kid going to church on a Sunday morning, and his mother gave him two coins, two quarters to put, you know, to take to church. She said, son, one coin is for the Lord, for the offering, one quarter, and then the next quarter is for an ice cream cone on the way home. So he was rubbing those two coins together when he went to church, and one of the coins fell out of his hand and started rolling down the street, and it rolled right into a gutter. And the little boy said, Lord, I'm sure sorry about what happened to your coin. The woman gave both coins. Can I get a witness? Amen. So Jesus turned this into a teaching opportunity, and he called his disciples to himself, and he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has given more into the treasury than all of the others. What she just did put more than all of the others, all of the rich people that gave, this poor widow gave more. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, and she put in everything. All that she had to live on, she gave in that offering. So this woman now that we talk about right now has influenced giving ever since the time that she did it. She's influenced giving right now for the last 2,000 years. You know, in 2015, just a few years ago, we were in the middle of a campaign called Take the Land, and our goal was to become debt-free on our campus here at Harvest Church. It was called Take the Land. How many of you remember that campaign? It went for about 18 months. And during this campaign, we were able to pay off our entire campus. Well, during that campaign, when we started it, I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit, Barbara and I did, to give an extra $10,000 on top of our tithes and our offerings, all right? So we committed to give $10,000, and Barbara and I chipped away, and we were able to pay off the $10,000, and we paid for that during that campaign. But I remember a lady who came up to me during the course of the campaign, and she came up to me. It was a single lady, or not a single, she's married, but she came to church by herself. And I remember she had given, I think it was around $170, and she was telling me how God had provided that $170 for her and her family. She didn't have the money at all, and God provided the $170. So she's telling me this story, and while she's telling me the story, I realize that she gave way more than I ever even thought about giving. In that $170, she outgave the $10,000 that I gave, because she gave not out of her abundance, but she gave out of her need. Can I get a witness? Amen. And many others here in the church did the same thing. And because we all gave together, thank God, at the end of 2015, our entire church campus was paid in full. We are the church without the coupon book. Can I get a witness? Amen. Say with me, the church without the coupon book. How many of you would like to have a house without a coupon book? And let me tell you what, because you've blessed the church, God will also bless you back so that one day you can have a house without a coupon book as well. It's been said that this story of the woman with the two mites, you know, she gave only her two little coins that she had, made such an impact. You know, for her, it was just these two little insignificant, minuscule coins. God has used this story and multiplied it so many times over. It has been said that billions and billions and billions of dollars have been given into kingdom work just because of the example of this lady that gave everything that she had, and it was only two small coins. How many of you know it's not what's in our bank account that counts, it's what's in our heart? Can I get a witness? Amen? So that's the first story this morning. The second story happens a week before the cross as well. And it's a story of Mary who anointed Jesus' head and his feet with the oil, that expensive oil. And if you'll turn over to Mark chapter 14, verse 3, it says this: while Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman, her name is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Remember Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Lazarus got raised from the dead. Mary came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. This alabaster jar was just beautiful, ornate, opaque kind of a jar, beautiful alabaster jar. It was filled with perfume. They call it spikenard perfume. They say that it came from the Himalayas in India. We don't know, but it was very expensive perfume. In fact, just that little bit of perfume cost a year's wages. And she broke the jar, and she poured the perfume on Jesus' head and also poured it on his feet. And well, the people were watching, you know, they were saying, man, this was just a waste of money. Some of those who were present were saying indignantly to one another, why did we just waste this perfume? It could have been given, it could have been given to the poor to help the poor. How many of lots of people say the same thing today? But Jesus knew what was in her heart. And anyway, this cost a lot of money. Today, it would be a denarii would be one day's wage. All right, say it with me this morning, one day's wage. So in California wages right now, California minimum wage is $11 an hour. So 8 hours a day would be $88 a day times 300 days. So this perfume would have cost $26,400. How many know that that's expensive perfume? You can't buy that at Target. You can't buy it at Macy's. You have to go to New York City to get it. And Jesus said this when he saw her pour out this perfume. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me today. The poor you will always have with you. And Jesus loved the poor. But you can minister to them anytime you want, but you'll not always have me with you because I'm going to the cross. So she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for burial. What Jesus was saying was, you know, I'm getting ready to go to the cross, and she poured out this perfume for my burial. And then he said, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be said in memory of her. And here we are, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the extreme generosity of this lady. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. A few years ago, I had a church. We're talking about little generosity, only two coins, and extreme generosity. Several years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was, a church in Natomas called us, and they were needing help with chairs. And they needed about 500 chairs, but they didn't have the money to raise for it. They were raising money to build in their church. But they asked us if we could help out with chairs. And I thought, well, maybe we could help them out. It was going to be around $26,000. And I thought, well, maybe we could help out with half that amount, and then they could raise the other half, and we'd give half the amount. But one day I was driving down Laguna Street, and I was heading west on Laguna. I still remember it today. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to buy those chairs outright and just bless the church with the chairs and pay for them in full. So I shared this with Al Rillette, our Missions Task Force director. He met with the Missions Task Force, and I said, Al, I don't want to sell it myself, but if this is a God thing, I think we're supposed to do it. And so he shared it with the Missions Task Force, and they were unanimous that we could just buy these chairs for the church. And you know what? We paid the entire bill. I think it turned out to be around $27,000. And those chairs are being used today, and that church is functioning today, and you helped to pay that. It was a very extravagant gift, but praise God, people are being blessed by those chairs today. Give the Lord a great hand clap for that. Amen? Now, well, I mean, give the Lord a great hand clap for that, because that was really nice. Just a few weeks later after that, maybe a month and a half later after that, we in one of our services, a lady that we didn't even know, a lady put in a check in the offering that morning for $28,000. And then I said, well, I don't even know who the lady was. And I said, could you check her giving record? You know, she gives, and she had given 1 year earlier, she had given $100 and hadn't given anything in between. But that morning she wrote out a check for $28,000. We had just been, you know, generous with the church across town to help them out. And God says, you know what? I saw that generosity and I'm going to bless you back. Give the Lord a great hand clap for that. Amen. Now we looked at the picture of a generous life. I want to look this morning at the potential of a generous life. When you are living a generous life, not only will the people in your own circle be blessed, I'm talking about your family and your friends, but people outside of your circle will be blessed as well. You'll be able to bless the world when you're extremely generous. There's a man by the name of David Green, and he's the president of Hobby Lobby. He's the owner of Hobby Lobby. Say with me, David Green. And he's the founder of Hobby Lobby. Say with me, Hobby Lobby. That's just kind of a fun name to say. They started out, the Hobby Lobby stores, they started out in their garage in 1970 by framing pictures. It was a picture framing business that just grew. And they said, you know what, we're not going to keep the profits all for ourselves, but we're going to give half of our profits away to ministry. Today, since 1970, that business has grown and grown to where they take in $4 billion a year, $4 billion a year. They have 30,000 employees in 47 states. And each year, David Green and his family give away half of their profits. They've already given away over $500 million to ministries around the world. And David Green said, I've met him and I've been in meetings with him, and he said, you know what? Our lives are divided into the temporal and eternal. The profits that we make here will last for a short period of time. They're temporal. But he says, what I put into the kingdom of God, that's eternal. And he says, so every time that I give to a ministry and people are one to Jesus, I remember that what I'm doing right now has, an eternal benefit forever. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, the Bible says this. Now, I want to just say one reason that David Green is so blessed is because he's so generous. Remember this, the Bible says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap what? Generously. So each of you should give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. And God, watch what happens now. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound to every good work. When we're generous, God says this, I'm going to bless you back so that you can be generous on every occasion. If you believe that that's true, say aloud, amen. They have said, research has said that if all of the churches in the United States gave a tithe, just tithe and did what the Bible says in tithing, another $165 billion would be released every year into ministry work and ministry, feeding the poor, helping with outreaches, $165 billion. How many know that that would make a big difference? Amen? So that's the potential of living a generous life. Not only will your own circle be blessed, but people outside of your circle will be blessed as well. Third thing this morning is this is the practice of a generous life. How does this look? We've talked about a picture of a generous life. We've talked about the potential of a generous life. Now we're going to talk about the practice of a generous life. First of all, determine to excel in the grace of giving. Make it an aim. In other words, aim to excel in the grace of giving. Make it something that you want to do. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this, since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Let me ask you a question here this morning. How many of you want to be more loving? Say aloud, amen. How many of you want to be more godly? How many of you want to be more knowledgeable of the things of God? Paul is saying this, since you're excelling in all of those, see also that you excel in the grace of giving. How many of you want to be even a greater giver? Say an amen with me, amen? So, I remember in my early 20s, I was sitting in church with Barbara. We were in North Dakota at the time, in Fargo, North Dakota on this particular Sunday morning, and I was listening to the pastor, and the pastor had built a great church there. This was way back when I was in my 20s. And I remember we were sitting there, and the pastor, who's just a humble man and a great leader, he had said how he and his wife, God had blessed them in such a way that this year, this last year, right? And this was way back in the 80s. And he had said, we were able to give $10,000 to the ministry this year. $10,000 in tithes and offerings. And you know, and I just, that to me was like an overwhelming thought. But I turned to Barbara and I said, you know what? Someday that's going to be us. Someday we're going to have that same testimony. And you know, within about 10 years later, God blessed us in such a way that we were able to give that much money, and it's been happening ever since, only because I wanted to do that. If you want to, God will help you get there. Can I get a witness here this morning? Determined to excel in the grace of giving. Secondly, be generous to the poor. Say with me this morning, be generous to the poor. The Bible says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. So every time that you're generous to the poor, the Lord, in some way, he'll repay you. Some way and somehow, he'll repay you for your deed. Why? So that you can be generous again. How many know that God will bless you to be a blessing? Amen? I remember once I helped out I've told this story so many times, but I'll make it real short. I was going to a game, a Giants game in San Francisco, a Giants baseball game, and I was looking for parking, and it looked like a homeless man that came up to me with the parking tickets, and I didn't know if they were good or not. I negotiated with him a little bit, but then I gave him a $20 bill for a parking ticket that I didn't even know was going to be good. But I drove to where it was, and it was good. But I said, you know what? Even if I lose this $20, it's okay because I'm going to err by helping somebody else out. And so I gave him that $20, but it turned out to be a good ticket. And I drove in, and I parked my car, and it was a little bit dark outside. When I got outside of my car, I went to the back of the car walking towards the stadium, and there, stuck to the ground, was a $20 bill. I mean, and I just reached down really quick and picked it up. You know what I'm saying? But God told me in that moment, you just helped out a brother with a $20 bill. I'm going to give it right back to you so you can go buy a hot dog. Can I get a witness, amen? But God will repay you so that you can be generous on every occasion. Here's the third thing this morning. Let me just encourage you to, in this practice of a generous life, become a tither and a generous giver. In fact, according to research, a tithe, by the way, is just a tenth. A tenth of what God has already blessed you with. God's the one that's blessed us, and we give him a tenth back in tithing. But it's a starting point in our giving, and it's all through Scripture. But let me just say this this morning. Research shows us that only 1 or 2 out of 10 people tithe. In other words, up to 20% of a church tithes. But usually it's around 10% of the church tithes, or 20%. So 1 or 2 out of 10 people actually tithe, which says to me that 8 out of 10 people are missing out on a greater blessing. Are you following my thinking here this morning? If only 1 or 2 out of 10 tithe, 8 out of 10 are missing out on a greater blessing. I don't want you to miss out on a greater blessing. I've been a tither ever since I've been 8 years old. My mama taught me to be a tither, and I've been doing it ever since. And I can tell you this, God's economy is greater than our economy could ever be. And I want to just encourage you to become a tither. By the way, I've been a pastor here at Harvest Church for 16 years now, and you can check any year that you want. You can ask Pastor Randy or administrative. You can say, can I have Pastor Perry's giving statements? And we'll give them to you just by asking if you ever want, because I never stand up here and ask you to do what I don't practice myself. I just want you to know that. So I don't tithe so that I can preach a sermon on tithing. I practice tithing all of my life. And I'm just saying, if you want to know that, if it's true, just ask the office for a statement, all right? But God also blesses, and he says, I'm going to make you generous on every occasion. What does the Bible say? I read it almost every Sunday. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there might be provision in my house. Then Jesus said, or the Word of God says this, test me now in this, God says. Say with me this morning, test me now. Or prove me now in this, says the Lord. In other words, prove me in this and see if I will not throw out the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. And I'll also rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So much goes along when we honor God with the first fruits of our increase. So become a tither and a generous giver. There's nothing like it. And then the fourth thing here this morning, point D, make sure that your treasure is in heaven. All right? Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. Don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth. Have you noticed how all the treasures that we lay up here on earth, how they all wear out and break down? Many of us moved into houses here in Elk Grove in the last 15 years, all right, because this is a new city. Some of you have been here longer than that, but every one of you that have even bought a new house, 15 years later, you see how many things are broken down and have to be replaced and repaired. Am I telling the truth here, right? That new washing machine and dryer that you bought long ago now needs to be replaced. All these things break down and repair. So God says, don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. The other day, I saw my neighbor. They had a pile of junk out in front of their house on the curb, and I swear it was over 1,000 pounds of stuff. It was over 1,000 pounds. It was just stacked up, and it just occurred to me that what was once a treasure is now trash. You know what I'm saying? How many of you ever kicked a bunch of trash to the curb, right? All of that trash that was there now used to be a treasure. You went and shopped for it, and you're like, look what I got. But now it's trash. And God says this, watch that. Don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth. You got to have stuff to live, and that's all good. About 90% of everything you spend goes to treasures that are here on earth, but it all breaks down. And he says this, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. I was looking back, anyway, at so many of you that have just been such a blessing in your giving. And Mr. Pop's Popcorn, Steve, back there, Mr. Pops, Steve's always done, he's always given to the Lord in his tithes and his offerings, and God has just blessed his business in such a great way. He just started out popping popcorn, and because he's been honest to God and honest to people and running a good business, by the way, Mr. Pops Popcorn is just the best popcorn you can buy. It's just great. But a couple of years ago, he ended up getting the account. In fact, Steve, you just put something in your mouth. Was that Mr. Pops Popcorn? No. Okay. But anyway, he ended up getting the G1 account when the G1 stadium was built. All the popcorn in there is Mr. Pop's Popcorn. And so it's amazing. And then just recently, he just ended up getting Levi Stadium for the San Francisco 49ers. What? But I've seen him come to this church so many times in men's events all through the years with his Mr. Pop's Popcorn, giving it away free, giving it to us, no charge at all, saying, we just want to just give it here. And he's not even thinking of terms in sowing. It's just he can't help it. When you do so, God says, I'm going to give you a blessing back in return. Amen? Works in all of our lives. So make sure that you don't lay up treasures here on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Let's read that scripture. Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can I get a witness? Amen? Amen. So I want to just say it again. Generosity is not about what's in your bank account. It's what's about in your heart. How many of you want to have people with generous hearts? Amen. And says, God says, when I see that, I'm going to bless you back so that you can be generous on every occasion. How many of you know this morning that you are rich? You are rich. If you live in the United States, you're automatically rich. So what do we do with our riches? Let me just finish with this, all right? Paul said to young Timothy, he said this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant with their wealth or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command those who are rich to do good. Say with me, I'm going to do good. And to be rich in good deeds. I'm going to be rich in good deeds. And to be generous and willing to share. I want to be generous and willing to share. And then he says this, in this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life, the life that really matters. It's not really what we keep for ourselves that changes anything. It's what we give away that changes everything. And God wants us to be generous in everything that we do, to have a spirit of generosity. If you believe that that's true, can I get a witness? Amen. So the bottom line, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. Hallelujah. Say with me, Lord God, you've been generous to me. Let me be generous with everything that you've entrusted to me. Can I get a witness? Amen. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise if you received the word this morning. And I'd like you to stand all across the auditorium today. God bless you. You've been so awesome to talk with today. God bless you. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we love you so much. And Lord, I just thank you right now that you've always been so generous to us. Let us, Lord God, in the same way, be generous with others. Lord, let us have a spirit of generosity, to have an open hand, Lord God, and to be a blessing to others. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Lord, so I pray a great blessing over your people today as we gather this morning. Let us have that quality of the Spirit called goodness, called benevolence, called generosity. Let us be generous people, we pray it in your holy name. And all of God's people that receive that say aloud, amen. Amen. Then I just speak a blessing over you too as we walk into this weekend, Lord God. Let us walk into this weekend in a generous way. And we pray it in your holy name. I pray your blessing over your people today in the name of Jesus. Man, I'm just supposed to say this right now. Lord, I just pray that those that have bills to be paid, Lord God, that you're going to supply the resources to pay every one of those bills. Lord, I pray right now that your people who are out, that are in debt, and they know they're in debt too far, Lord God, that you're going to get them out of debt completely. They're not going to be a slave to the lender, but Lord God, you're going to let them be completely debt-free in the name of Jesus. I didn't say this in the first service, and I'm not saying it in the third service. I'm saying somehow the Holy Spirit's saying it right here. So if you receive that, give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Would you do that right now in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. And it begins with an open hand and an open heart and a generous spirit. That's where it all starts. And God says this, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you to be a good steward, but I'm going to help you to have a blessed life in the name of Jesus.